Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast, episode 131, I believe. And we are here down under. It's just Ollie and I. Ollie?
Yeah.
A bit lonely out here, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no long-haired guy with the bringing his plans downstairs to set up the ambiance for the podcast. We've got all these plans here replacing George.
Yeah, unfortunately no George today. So, as we've already said, Ollie and I are in Australia. Just between the time difference and the time that was lost with the travel, etc., it was just going to be too hard to get a podcast in with the three of us this week. But hopefully next week we can figure out these time zones and we can make it work. But for now, I think it'll be a bit of a shorter one because of that as well. And there's also just like not that much going on, really.
Not much to talk about, yeah.
But yeah, it'll just be the two of us banging it out. Do have to give a couple of warnings. One, which is, I don't know if you can hear it over the podcast right now, but a big plane sound warning. So I don't know what it is. We must be directly under the flight path, but the planes...
There's one goes past right now.
I wonder how well that's being picked up. I bet it is because it's pretty freaking loud.
It's very loud.
In my ears. Yeah, a lot of planes coming down here. I don't know. I didn't realize that this many flights actually came into Adelaide.
Yeah, surprising.
Which is where we are. Until you wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning and you're just chilling and the planes are just coming in and out. So maybe we'll get a little counter going. That's plane one. We'll see how long we keep that going. But it's probably just time to get into it. I don't think we really have. We'll do a little update on how we're doing after the travel down here, why we're here, etc. Not really much else going on, though. A little March Madness update, which is just to say that we're down to 5 people in the men's brackets and 2 people in the women's brackets that are in the top 1%. So
that's pretty impressive, honestly, because there've been a lot of maybe upsets. You call them upsets, but there've been a lot of shifts in the brackets. So
very impressive to have people do that. I've never been a part of. Well, I can't remember last year what they looked like, but I've never been a part of like a bracket. I mean, and to be fair, our Coffee Club bracket is the biggest group that I've ever been a part of, but I've never been a part of one where people are like scoring that highly, top 1%. So when George did offer prizes for the top 1%, I thought that was like fair, but it seems like he's gonna have a big party. What do you think he's gonna get up to with all these people?
I don't know, man. I think he might take them to a coffee shop or maybe free trip to New Zealand. I think that's in the cards still, guys. So you could get, if you're in the top 1% bracket for the Coffee Club group, you might be able to get a free trip with George to New Zealand. He can take you on the farm, shear some sheep.
Hop in the tractor.
Yeah. It should be a fun time.
Yeah.
He can't defend himself right now, so he has to take him.
We can say whatever we want.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so annoyed that I'm the one that has to say this because I'm the only one that can see the notes right now. But we do have a game to start off. And the name of the game is to earn back our Australian citizenship in order to compete. Well, so actually, you can compete in the Australian Championships.
If you're not an Australian citizen.
You're not Australian. But in order to win an Australian Championships, you do have to be an Australian citizen. And Ollie and I have both been gone from the motherland for a long time now.
Yeah.
I think you started college in 2016, and I started in 2014. So that's like 9 and 7, like a long
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've given us a bit of a test to make sure that we're still Australian to get into it. So without further ado, you can hear my best Australian accent as I read the intro. Crikey, get a load of this, you drongos. What's that? That's like Overwatch, no?
Yeah, it sounds like Overwatch. It's funny that, obviously, this is... I don't want people to think that that's how Australians talk when they come here. People,
this is how everyone sounds.
Yeah, everyone talks exactly like this.
The blokes are back in town. Fair suck of the salve. Sunburnt and ready to cause a ruckus. Buckle your budgie smugglers because it's going to be a right beaut of a time down at the pub. Fair dinkin. Hold your horses for a second, cobbers. Seems these blokes have gone for a shrimp on the barbie too long. Got to prove they're still true blue Aussies with a right corker of a game. Each fella's got to grill the other with fire ripper questions. Top bloke gets a crack at Aussie Nationals. Loser's got to compete as a flaming galah from overseas like a non-citizen. That's actually how I sounded before I went over to the US.
Yeah, I do remember you sounding like that when you did the interviews for most of national championships before you came to Wisconsin, so makes sense.
Unfortunately, in my tenure overseas, I have lost that accent, but it comes back just like riding a bike. So each of our questions for each other, should we do like back and forth?
I think back and forth would be the best way to do it.
Okay, let me get mine up. All right. You ready?
No, but... we can go. We can do it.
Warm-up question. I got to do the accent again. Right then. Listen here, you drongos. Who's the legendary bloke who wrangled Crocs with a smile, taught us all about the beauty of the bush, and yelled crikey louder than a kookaburra? That's an easy one.
Yeah, that is an easy one. Steve Jobs. Steve Irwin. Who the hell is Steve Jobs?
Steve Irwin, correct. Very. If you had gotten that one wrong, you probably would have had to immediately evacuate.
I feel like he was massive in America compared to... I mean, he was massive in Australia. He was an icon, but he was pretty big in the US.
He transcended, didn't he?
He transcended. That's probably the right one.
Yeah.
All right, your one. I'm not going to do the accent.
You have to.
I don't know how to do an... I don't know how to do the accent.
You gotta go for it.
This bloody multi.
I'm gonna stop you right there.
All
right.
How do I do the accent? Can you help me?
Well, you have to find a character, right? So think about. I'll tell you who I was impersonating. I was literally thinking. This is kind of niche for the people out there in the game Overwatch.
Oh, Junkrat.
Yeah, when you play on the map. What's the Junkertown?
Junkertown, yeah.
And then there's... Well, I was essentially doing Junker Queen. Is that her name?
She's also in it, yeah.
What's... You know when you're loading into the map of Junkertown and there's the voice...
Oi!
There's a voice, a female voice.
When she's trying to let you into the fortress.
That's exactly the voice. That's the character that I was being. You gotta pick someone, be a Steve Irwin, Crocodile Dundee.
Right!
And you gotta commit to it.
Oh man, I'm so bad with this.
Shout out to Greg Hoare.
Shout out to Greggy Hoare. Right, this multi-intrimist Kevin is famous for being one-man band that nobody knows. He's only one man. Who is he?
Wait, Kevin?
His name's Kevin.
A one-man band?
He's a one-man band, multi-intrimist, famous for being a one-man band. Very famous.
Dude, I feel so dumb right now. Kevin.
He's very popular. He's very popular with the youth. Everyone plays his songs.
Like right now.
Yeah.
And his name's Kevin.
Yeah, but that's when he's got a stage name.
Oh, it's Tame Impala.
There you go. Congratulations. Well done.
Oh, dude, if I had not gotten that one, that would have been pretty bad.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. All right. So, warm-up question's done. We're not going to count the points for that, but that's just to allow us
we get through the entry test for that one.
Bro, I was really afraid that I was not getting that for a second there. I was like... Who the fuck is Kevin?
Who was Kevin?
All right, question one. In the year 2000, Kathy Freeman won a gold medal for which event?
400 meters.
Yeah, that one's like...
That one's very... That's a very easy one.
Oh, yeah, we don't have the soundboard today, so... Ding. Not that we really do that much fun stuff with it, but if we were playing
a
game...
We do. Coffee Cauldron, I think, has the best sound intro and outro of all time. I love that.
So we'll have to do it manually, have to do it in the good old days. Ding!
I just want to be clear right now, because I feel like I should defend my Aussie mate here, Morgan. These questions that I have are quite... Like, they're harder than that. Like,
Tom's setting me up.
Tom's setting up... I think
some of mine are impossible
okay.
as well.
All right, good. As long as I know. Okay, so question one. Spanning almost 5,600 kilometers, Australia boasts the longest working fence in the world. This fence wasn't built to keep animals in, but to control the movement of one specific predator. It's number two.
Plane number two.
What was the primary target animal this fence was designed to exclude?
Did it say what year it was built, or any? I'm looking for clues.
No, it just says spanning 5,600 kilometers. Australia boasts the longest working fence in the world. This fence wasn't built to keep animals in.
How do you define a working fence versus a non-working fence?
That's a good question. I'd have to ask Tom for that one. This is just a question that he's
Such a hard one because...
But what do you think of an animal that, like... I'm going to give you, a little bit of help here.
I have an idea.
Like, there's an animal that's, like... known through, like, internationally, that's like a predator. That's not, it's not, well, if you think about the fence,
use the word predator, that kind of makes me,
yeah, think. The fence was built to keep animals in, wasn't built to keep animals in, but to control the movement of one specific predator.
Wow.
What is the primary target for this fence?
The word predator, really, there is a spanner in the works.
It's and it's indigenous to Australia. So think of something that's indigenous. Oh, and it's and land-based.
Well, when you say predator, I think crocodile.
I know, that's why I was trying to tell you land-based.
Yeah, that's what you said.
But and that's why I said it's indigenous, because crocodiles exist in other places, right?
I think they're indigenous. I think alligators are overseas.
That's true.
Right. Dude, this is so hard because originally I was going with cane toads.
Cane toads are massive.
That's
yeah.
what I thought the fence could potentially be for. But
this
also,
is why
like,
I'm telling you this is hard.
A fence wouldn't really make sense. And then I was thinking kangaroo. And then you said predator.
Predator. It eats babies. Famous for eating babies.
Oh, dingoes.
There you go.
Do you count that though?
That's yeah, like a, I'm counting
you,
it.
You gave me so many
Dude,
hints.
Yeah, but that was like, that's such a hard question. That's why I was like,
I'll take half a point for that.
Yeah.
Right, I'm 1.5.
And you also, I feel like that fence would also work for a crocodile, surely. And the question also could be more extensive. But yeah.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Dude, I was very afraid of dingoes when I was young.
So was I. I was actually more afraid of crocodiles, if anything. Crocodiles are nasty.
Well, I guess I never really went anywhere that you would be exposed to crocodiles, but dingoes, for those who don't know, dingoes are essentially like, what's the American equivalent? They're somewhat similar to a coyote.
Yeah, coyote, but like definitely more aggressive than a coyote, right?
But yeah, well, there was a big one. I don't know when it happened, but it's like an Australian myth that like they stole someone's baby.
Oh, yeah, or maybe it was a massive, it was a massive scandal. Then people think the family killed it or misplaced the baby or whatever.
All I remember is that when we would go on holidays down the coast and I would have to get to the beach and there would be like, there'd be about 50 meters of like forest area between the road and the beach and a path through it. And I would always think that there'd be a ton of dingoes in there and I'd always just run down so they wouldn't get me.
That's amazing.
Yeah. All right. Question two. I mean, you might actually know this one. What song did the Wiggles cover for Triple J's Hottest 100 in 2021? Which also,
covered a song. Well, I mean, this is a hard thing because Triple J is also a radio station in Australia. We don't get, like, unless we watch YouTube.
I imagine
clips of
it's
it,
a
which
big,
I do.
I imagine it's a big like aversion.
The Wiggles one. I haven't seen it on YouTube.
Yes,
unfortunately,
it's a tough one.
But
it's a really tough one.
Let me stab at it. It's a cover, so it's not a Wiggles original. I'm thinking if they're gonna cover anything, it'd be like a very known song.
I'll give you a hint. It's by another Australian artist.
Is it by Tame Impala?
Yes.
Yeah. Let It Happen?
No, close. Elephant.
Elephant?
Yeah. Play number three.
Damn it. Tom, fuck you. All right. Question two for Morgs. Number three. Wait. Question two, number three. Plane.
Yeah.
Number two question. You're not going to get this one. Aussie rules football is a fast-paced sport, but what unusual object is used to bounce the ball during play?
What unusual object is used to bounce the ball during play?
This is also a... It's kind of a weird question.
Well, you bounce it with your hands.
No. See, this is a thing. I don't... It's a bit of a trick question.
Wait.
It's a bit of a trick question.
Is there any hint you can give me, or is it not hintable?
Well, the hint I can give you is that I can reread the question and say it's a trick question. Like, it's a bit of a trick question. Aussie rules football is a fast-paced sport, but what unusual object is used to bounce the ball during play? No, maybe not a trick question, but a very direct question. Like, what object is used to bounce the ball during play?
This question is just making my brain turn into a pretzel because you bounce the ball with your hands.
Yeah, but the ball here, the ball has a name.
Oh, is the question like, what's the name of an AFL ball?
That is technically what he's asking, but he's asking for the object. This is why the question's funny. But what unusual object is used to bounce the ball during play? He's asking what the object's called, which is the ball. Yes, what is the ball called? Not Aussie rules.
Well, that I don't know the answer to either.
Yeah.
It's like an oval shaped, but it's
3D. It's an unusual shaped ball. If anybody, I mean, we have Aussie fans of the pod, but American fans look up in Australian rules football. It's an interesting shape.
Do I know this word?
No, I didn't even know it until I read it.
Well, I give up then.
All right, a Sharon.
Oh, a Sharon. Isn't that the brand?
I'm guessing.
I'm pretty sure that's the brand.
Yeah, I don't want to show you question three, but...
No, I mean, I believe you. Sharon, a.k.a. Leatherball.
Yeah.
Well, I think that question was mostly confusing due to the wording of the question.
Okay, so it wasn't me reading it, it was the wording.
not to rag on Tom, and...
He's tried his best here.
Not that I would have gotten it anyway, because I would not have gotten it anyway.
Yeah.
But you could have just asked that question in a slightly more straightforward manner. Like, what is... Like, what's the name of an AFL ball?
I think this is what Tom's doing. Tom probably thought these answers were going to be too easy for us, so he tried to word it in a way that would be harder for us. I think Tom definitely thought we were probably more equipped than we actually are.
He doesn't want us to get our citizenship.
No, he doesn't.
All right, question three for Ollie. This one's pretty easy. Ayers Rock is a famous Australian landmark and sandstorm formation found in the Australian outback. It was originally discovered by the Aboriginal people, and their original name for it is now the officially recognized name. What is that name?
Uluru.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a
You don't even hear Ayers Rock anymore.
No.
It's just Uluru.
I think my grandparents called it Ayers Rock or something.
It's just Uluru to us.
Yeah, it's Uluru for us. But yeah. No, that's an easy one. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Question three for Morgs. In which Australian state would you find the towns of Bacon and Eggs Bay, Milkshake Hills, Trousers Point, Granny's Gut, Satan's Lair, Lovely Bottom, and Stinkhole? It's a state, not a territory.
That could be in any of them, to be fair, but I'm going to go with Tasmania.
That is correct.
Let's go.
Nice job.
I could just feel it.
That was very impressive. That was honestly the most impressive thing I've seen, because I would not have known that. I would maybe try to guess random states, but...
They're pretty funky down there.
They are funky in Tassie, but that's a cool little fact for anyone.
All right, after three questions apiece, I believe Ollie is two out of three.
Yeah.
What am I, 1.5?
1.5. The dingo one, I think we gave you a half a point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you lost to Sharon.
Yeah, impossible question.
Impossible question from Tom.
All right, question four. Despite the Aussie flag sporting red, white, and blue, Australia and most often its sporting teams have long been associated with their national colours green and gold. Which flower gives Australia our green and gold identity?
So I'm just going to give myself some points here, as in the state flower is... New South Wales state flower is a Waratah, which is red. I'm trying to... I think I know what it is, but I keep forgetting the name. It's bottle something.
You're so close. Oh. You're so close.
Bottle. It's bottle bush or whatever. It's yellow.
You're so close.
And I remember
plain number four, by the way.
It's what?
Just plain number four.
That was plain number four. Yeah, plain number four for us, guys.
You're so close. And like when I say it, you're going to be like, oh, yeah.
Bottle bush? No. Mm,
not quite. It's not bottle. But it's something very similar.
Oh, shit, I know what it is, but I can't. Oh, my head.
You're so close.
Yeah, I know. But it's yellow and green.
Well, yeah.
Golden and green or whatever. It's going to annoy me. Is it something bush?
Nah. Should I tell you?
Yeah, just tell me.
The golden wattle.
The golden wattle.
Yeah, you were so... Your head went to the right place.
Wattle. It's wattle. Yeah, wattle. Yeah. Well, maybe I should get my visa turned into an American passport. That's tough. That's tough, Raleigh.
That's a hard question, though. I don't think many people would get that.
Well, I thought it was for... I thought the yellow was for our beaches and the green was for our bush, like eucalyptus and stuff.
Yeah, I would. If you told me that, I would believe you 100%. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Tom's teaching us a bit about our country.
Yeah.
Question four for Morgs. Only two mammals on Earth lay eggs. Both are found in Australia. What are they? Platypus is the one. Yes. There's another one.
Echidna.
Yes. Well done. Morgan is now destroying me in this game.
No. We're matching up. Wow. Maybe we'll do it after all. All right. Question five. The final question for both of us. This is... Okay. Here's a good question. This is kind of a tough one. In the 1970s, a groundbreaking Australian rock band released an iconic album titled Flaming Wheel. While the band achieved international success, they are more well known by a shortened nickname derived from their original name. Who is this band?
AC/DC?
No.
Oh.
Ah, shit. I think I was meant to give... I don't know if I was meant to give you like ABC with this.
I have an ABC one.
Shall I give it to you? Well, now you know it's not AC/DC. But A, AC/DC, B, the Bee Gees, C, Men at Work.
Oh man, they're all in the 70s. Well, they're all, I mean,
they're very relevant.
Yeah.
It could be
the, I feel like it's the Bee Gees. But it might be Men at Work.
It's tough because they're all like, they're all known kind of by nicknames. I mean, it's just really if you know the album titled A Flaming Wheel.
It doesn't sound like a Bee Gees album.
Doesn't do much for you.
Doesn't really sound like a Bee Gees album. I'm just going to go with Men at Work.
Which you'd be correct.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is about if I had gotten that question, I would have guessed AC/DC. Because like A Flaming Wheel sounds like a
Yeah, AC/DC and I feel like AC/DC was a, like a, I don't know. Anyway, that's my dad's favorite band, actually.
I'll give it to you.
Ding. Thank you. Thank you. I needed it. All right. Question five for Morgs. While fair suck of the Sav is a well-known Aussie phrase.
By the way, I've never heard that
before. Never heard that before. Me either. Its exact meaning can be debated. What is the most likely origin of this saying, considering its historical context and rhyming nature? A fair suck of the Sav. Is it A, a Larkins / jokester's complaint about an unfair disruption of food at a shearing shed where sheep are shorn?
That's a
tongue twister. Corruption of a British slang phrase meaning it's only fair, a reference to a specific brand of Australian sausage. This is an interesting question. A Larkin's complaint about an unfair distribution of food.
Can you just say what the saying is again?
Fair suck of the Sav.
A fair suck of the Sav.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that.
Well, I feel like it's the sausage one.
No.
Is it?
It's a Larkin's jokester's complaint about an unfair distribution of food at a shearing shed where sheep are shorn. It's the highlighted one, right?
That's
the one.
Yeah.
I thought, honestly, if I got that question, Morgs, I would think a corruption of British slang phrase meaning it's only fair.
That's just a really confusing to me because I don't actually know what it means.
Can I ask you a question? Can I just add on a random question?
Yeah, please.
What are the two food and drink staples of Australian and New Zealand culture that's spread around the world that's debated currently? Like the origin of it. One of them we drink all the time. And the other one like is like a dessert that we have usually.
Flat white.
Yeah.
Pavlova.
Yeah. See, you're Australian. In my eyes, you're Australian because that one's always been debated. And luckily, George isn't here because I believe it was invented in Australia by Italian immigrants coming in to Melbourne.
Yeah.
And then the pavlova is also debated in Western Australia to be the original creation. But then New Zealand also claims it. So I'm sure we're going to have an interesting debate in our comments in YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, thank you for your bonus question. Now, I have a bonus question to play, which actually comes in from Mr. Mitch Dyer. You can find him on Instagram, Straight At It. He's doing a great job in the past year or so covering the sport of athletics down under in Australia and now abroad. He's actually started, I think he's going to start working with Citrus Mag.
I did see that, yeah. It's pretty exciting. He is transcending, and he's a good blog, so it's great to see.
Good friend, but let's see what he's got for us.
Is this a bonus question for both of us?
How are
I think it is.
Enjoying a beautiful, shitty Melbourne day. Nergy, Ollie, Geordie, pleasure. Been pulled up off the bench, been asked to ask a question. Shout out to Wom Tang for the invite. Hey, nevertheless, thought I might get an invite on the pod, but I guess you dare to dream. Miss you, boys. Morgan, shave the beard. It looks shit. Here's my question. You've already done the lingo. You've been trying to get your citizenships back. Morgan's had an American accent since he was 12. I don't think he's been ever Australian. But answer me this. John Landy was the first man to break the 4-minute mile in Australia. Second man in history. Tell me who the second Australian was. And geez, boys, if you can get this one, I'll be bloody impressed, lads. Good luck. See you here in Australia shortly, and I think you owe me a coffee, Morg, so I can't wait for that, big fella.
First off, that's what a real Australian sounds like.
Also, like, you can just tell, like, Citrus Mag better put their money where their mouth is, because a guy like that interviewing anyone is going to do a fantastic job. So
he was doing our interviews at Worlds last year. He was out there, which was pretty freaking sick. We're the same age, so we grew up racing each other, and yeah, he's a legend. But this question, the second Australian to ever break 4 minutes in the mile. What's really sad about this is I don't have the answer for it anyway. So
I feel like I've seen this as a trivia question before, or I've seen it come up. John Landy was the first. This guy was the second. I'm pretty sure it was in the same race.
First Australian
I think it was in the same race.
Well, no, I think John, no, because I think with the 4 minute mile, I think John Laney was the only Australian to do it for like in the year that he did it. I think like Roger Bannister did it, John Laney did it, and then like a year or so later, they had a really famous race in Canada for the Comm Games, where I think maybe both of them, they went head-to-head. I don't know. I think they might have both broken 4 in the mile there, but I don't think at that time any other Aussie had, but I could be wrong.
Mm.
See, the thing is, I don't know the names of many Aussies that were, like, on top of the world back then. Like, the only other name that goes in my head is Herb Elliott, but I don't think he's the same time period.
It would be interesting if it was Herb, because it's not. I know Herb's undefeated in his career. So
wait, really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means ever since he was running at that level, he never got beaten in a race. He never lost.
Like, as a... What do you mean at that level? Like,
as in, like, he never lost a race. Like, at the... I would say professional level. Like, he never lost Olympic Games, never lost the World Championships, never lost the Comm Games. Never lost a race.
He never lost a race.
And then he retired at 24. Or like early, maybe not 24, but he retired early.
That's crazy.
Is it Mitch Dyer? Mitch, is it you, mate? Honestly, I don't think I would.
I just don't know the name for this. I've looked it up now, so I can tell the listeners who it is. And yeah, do you have any guesses? I don't think you would know this name, unfortunately.
Michael Sheenan.
That's a really good guess. According to this list that I have in front of me, it is a man by the name of Jim Bailey.
Jim Bailey.
Who did it.
Do you remember Tim Bailey, the weather guy?
Yeah.
It's Tim Bailey, the weather
guy. He did it in LA in 56.
Oh, shit.
Which, I don't know if that... I wonder what race that was.
Mm. LA Grand Prix.
LA Grand Prix. Yeah. It was probably sound running.
Yeah, it was a sound running LA Grand Prix.
It was probably the sound running meet in LA back in 1956.
Yeah. Jesse was doing meets all the way back then, man.
Which was 2 years after John Landy did it in 1954. And then... Number four was Herb Elliott. So we weren't that far off thinking.
Who was number three?
His name was Merwin Lincoln.
Merwin Lincoln.
And then number five was Albie Thomas.
Albie Thomas. Famous mile race in Australia.
So
yeah.
some good
What number here. Are you? You could probably look up the number that you were.
I think I must be around 56 or 57, because the bottom of this list is, well, this is kind of weird. The bottom of this list is Mark C in 2016, which maybe this is just outdoors. I'm not sure if this includes indoors because I don't know if this includes indoors because I also did it in 2016, I think. So then I'd be around there somewhere.
So you'd be in the 50s, I'd probably be in the 60s.
Yeah. Well, you just broke it 1 year later, right? So yeah, we'd be very close to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, that was fun. Are we denied? Did we get our passports back?
I don't know. We'll have to leave that up to the listeners.
Yeah, jeez.
Guys, tell us, are we Australian? And Mitch... He's
He told you to shave your beard off. I thought it looks good.
One, told me to shave my beard. Two, said that he's not convinced I was ever Australian. Mitch, when I see you, I'm going to have to spank you for those. But I think I do owe him a coffee because I never... Yeah, we were meant to get a coffee in Budapest and we never did.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very excited to see my old friend. Maybe he can come on the pod next week. That'd be pretty sick if he's in town.
If he's in town, we'll strap him in.
Yeah. You know what? I'm trying to think. So it's April 3rd when we're filming this right now. Your first round will be on the day that next week's episode comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll talk about the racing next week. But as many of you would know, the reason that Ollie and I have made the trip down here is to compete in our national championships, which is going on next week. Ollie races Thursday, Saturday, I think, and then I race on Sunday in the 5K. They just released the fields for them.
Mm.
Everyone's coming.
Everyone's going to be here. Everyone's cashing in their check. I mean, I think it's the deepest fields that I've ever seen at a national championships in Australia, and that's not just saying that like all these names are turning up, but even the times are very impressive. So it's an exciting thing to see. Mm-hmm. Australian athletics, well, Australian middle distance and distance being at this kind of pedigree, it's a very special thing to be a part of, for sure.
It's interesting that it's here in Adelaide. For reference, Adelaide is what it must be like the fourth biggest Australian city. It's so the Sydney and Melbourne, and then I don't know what's bigger between like Adelaide, Perth, and those ones, and Brisbane. Mm. Brisbane would be bigger. So maybe it's like fourth or fifth biggest Australian city. And they don't host like many like national. Normally it's like Sydney that gets it, which is like, I don't know. People probably get annoyed because they always have to go to Sydney, but that's kind of what we're just like used to be honest.
Being Sydney boys.
Being biased Sydney boys. That's the way we like it. I think it'll be cool though, because the way that they're doing it here in Australia is that the junior championships occurs like around the senior championships. So it's like before and maybe after as well, mm-hmm. I think. So I'm imagining that these Saturday and Sunday of the championships will be pretty hyped, and there'll be a lot of people out there to watch and to support, which would be really cool. And yeah, as you mentioned, extremely deep fields. I had the pleasure, the last time I competed in a national championships was 2018, which was a big one as well, because it was the Comm Games trials, and the Comm Games was happening in the same city as nationals only maybe 2 months later, or maybe even less. So that was a big one that had a lot on the line as well. But then, yeah, since that...
You had a W on your chest as well.
Yeah, I was repping Wisconsin. It was really cool to come home and get to do that while I was still in college. But yeah, since that, there hasn't really been a national championships for us that has had such high stakes. Mm. I think in the events that we compete in, the depth is such that you feel like you really have to come and show up at nationals if you want to get picked for that team, or it's going to be very important, just because there is a good chance that Australia will have like more than three people having qualifiers, either through the qualifying standards or the rankings, which isn't always the case for like a smaller country like Australia. So there is definitely a lot on the line for both of us. And, but most of all, I think we're just both happy to be back and race on the home soil, because yeah. Well, you've raced here the past 2 years.
Yeah. I raced, nationals, 2022,
2 years ago, right?
Yeah, which was a really cool battle between me and Rambo in that race in particular. And then I think Stewie was either sick or had something going on, so he was unfortunately not in that race. And then Murray Plant was an incredible race in the mile, that was happened this year and was also a success. And then World Cross. So I mean, that's the one thing that I know Morgan and I take very seriously, is being able to run races at home. Like, it's a very unique privilege, because like a lot of our professional running careers and races have been overseas in either Europe or the US. So being able to have the opportunity to like run here and also be able to support that kind of system of competing and turning up to those meets is like pretty special, because mm-hmm. considering how far away everything is.
So. Yeah, unfortunately it's just not practical for us to like come back and compete nearly as much as we would like to. So when it's a year like this and it makes sense, I think it's like so cool to be able to do it. And so that's why we're here. Like, we're taking it real serious.
Yeah, taking it real serious.
We're here 2 weeks early, which I think for a big trip like this, you want to have enough time to get your body ready for the race. But it's cool that we're here 2 weeks early down in Adelaide. Obviously missed the setup and the team back home. But being here in somewhere new, we're staying in like a cool Airbnb in the city. It's nice to switch things up a little bit, I think, for a big race, to get dialed in. Not that I've really started getting dialed in. Life has been pretty chill.
Yeah.
Pretty chill so far. But it is nice to kind of have... It just makes the race feel a bit bigger, I guess. Like, more meaningful, which is how it should for the national championships. But, yeah, how you've been finding Adelaide, or your trip down here just in general so far?
Oh, well, Morgs, I tell you what. I've been enjoying the sea level, that's for sure. Morgan and I did a workout day off the plane, and it was very nice to be able to breathe sea level air. That was a very, very nice thing. Also to catch up with a few boys, Matt Clark and Lockie and...
Two Lockies.
That was pretty cool to run with them and like kind of help. They're pretty much helping us with our workout. I forgot my watch, so Lockie gave me his. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much, Lockie.
Shout out to Adam Diddick, Team Tempo, for supporting us, looking after us while we're here, because otherwise we'd be extremely lost.
Coffee shops, there's just one at every corner. I've been to three already in the past 3 days, so I'm enjoying that kind of thing of checking out the coffee shops. The vibes here are pretty cool. The running's actually not been too bad. We found that crushed kind of gravel trail that was 2k for our longer, like our longish run, and then our long run today we ran at this thing called
Happy Valley.
Happy Valley
Reservoir. Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. I think
saw
Morgan,
the kangaroos out there.
Saw the wallabies. I think Morgan got some pics, so hopefully he'll upload them so if you guys can see
them. On my Strava, if you want to check it out, I got a little video.
Yeah, so it's beautiful out there. But everything else has been great. The Airbnb is great. There's a cat that comes here to give Morgan and I some love.
He wants food.
Unfortunately, he or she is not back. We thought that they might return, but
just for the podcast, maybe next week.
Maybe next week. But yeah, everything's been going pretty good. Can't find a game in Halo.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to bring up. The biggest struggle.
I've been reading a lot, and then I've been trying to play Halo, but it's just more reading than Halo because I would load into a lobby and I just won't find a game.
Mm-hmm.
Where is all these Australian Halo players at? What's going on? But yeah, and then Morgan and I have been alternating days of cooking, so that's been fun.
That's kind of like the training camp lifestyle. It's good. It's real good.
What about you, Morgs?
I love it here, man. I really like it. It's like a nice sized city for us. I think the running is pretty amazing. There is like a lot of, because we're like right in the city, so you wouldn't really expect to have the best running, but it's actually pretty good running around here. Plane number
five.
Is this number five?
Yeah.
I think we're sitting at about one. It must be, well, we haven't been filming for 50 minutes, I don't think. So it's more than one every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
That's kind of crazy, though. I feel like
it's a lot of planes, isn't it?
Yeah.
For a relatively small town. But no, like, we're right near the city and it's just like beautiful. I think this is, I don't want to sound like biased or anything, but I think when you come down to Australia and you're in a town like Adelaide, compared to the US, do you notice that things seem like as if you've gone from like 1080p to 4K kind of? Like, yeah. things just look, I don't know if it's the way the sun is or something, but things just look more vibrant. Like, maybe someone's just turned this, God's just switched up the saturation a little bit.
It's literally the Wizard of Oz template of black and white to color.
Just everything's so pretty here. Everything's so nice.
We were coming from, like, to be honest, beautiful.
I guess
beautiful,
we're coming from winter.
Beautiful Boulder exists. I just think we're that we were coming from a winter, like, no trees, no foliage. The trees were deciduous. So, like, deciduous?
I don't know what you. I don't know that word. Not familiar.
Deciduous. Deciduous trees. It means that the trees don't have any leaves on them.
Makes sense.
In some sort of state. I don't know if that's true. Maybe I'll get roasted.
No, I believe you. Podcast. I believe you.
Deciduous. But. Yeah, no, I think it's just we come here from winter where it's like kind of a bit miserable to beautiful, luscious green flowers, birds chirping, animals frolicking.
There's a lot of nature here,
so it's been so very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, just drive out the door. And yeah, so I'm loving it. My body's always like pretty rough off the big travel, so it always takes me a few days to kind of like come around and feel normal again. So I'm looking forward to like just kind of feeling good again, which I mean, to be fair, I do already feel pretty decent. So we got some big sessions coming up. So I guess that'll be the true test of how the body is doing. But overall, yeah, things are good. Good on the running front.
Nice.
We do have some more Aussie questions from some American listeners. I think these are from the Discord. Shall we tackle them?
Let's tackle them. Let's see if we can actually answer them.
I think these ones will be a little bit easier than our quiz, luckily. From Tom. I don't know if this is Tom Wang or a different Tom. This has nothing to do with it, but I'm genuinely curious what you guys think about Outback Steakhouse. Holly, you want to take that one?
I hate Outback Steakhouse. I hate it. I've voiced this passion of hate to a lot of my close friends. It's a misappropriation of our culture. It was made for Americans and is established in America to kind of... It's just, yeah, it's like... going to a place that says original raised pizza, but it's not the original kind of thing, but also it's in a different country.
It's a lie.
So it's just a lie. But I mean, the food apparently is good. Number six. The Bloomin' Onion. I don't think anybody eats a Bloomin' Onion in Australia. I don't
never
know. If, I've
it.
Never heard of it. Never experienced it.
Wait, so have you never, you've never eaten an Outback Steakhouse?
I have once.
Oh, you have?
So I went on a Florida recruiting trip. They took me to an Outback Steakhouse and all the kids on that trip, and God love them, lovely, lovely blokes and lasses. They were like, oh, we just take you here to give you like a little like vibe of our Australian cult like thing. And I'm like, this is not Australian.
That's funny.
But I still appreciated it. I just didn't like it because then the waiter came over faking an Australian accent. And then as soon as he came over and then heard me speak, he stopped and just started speaking American. So he didn't have to put the show on. And I feel like I deserve the show.
Yeah, give him the show.
Give me the show. But yeah, that's my view on that. Not a fan of it. It doesn't exist in Australia. But if you like it, then good. Like, I guess it's no harm, you know?
Yeah. I think it's terrible.
I don't think it's great. I've seen ads for it, and I'm like, what, how did they... It's like Foster's. Foster's beer is not Australian.
I'm just shocked that... Well, I think Foster's is Australian.
Well, it just doesn't exist anymore.
It's just not popular.
Do they even have Foster's beer in Australia? I've never seen it.
Yeah, I don't know.
We have a lot of different, very, very famous beers. I wear a hat that has a famous beer in Australia called VB. That's like a Foster's.
Yeah. I don't really actually have that many opinions when it comes to Outback Steakhouse, except when I went there, I was just shocked by the, by the menu. I was just thinking, what is going on here? It's just words thrown together, like the Sydney shrimp. I don't know. They just like every dish is just like, that makes no sense.
Call them prawns, but
no, it's just like, I'm just saying, like every dish was just something completely fabricated.
It wasn't
like relevant to our culture, or it wasn't like, it's so inauthentic that I was shocked that it's so successful because I'm like, who,
the food must taste good.
Yeah, I'm like, who does this appeal? Like, what's special about this place? It's just like, I guess just,
is this my question?
Novelty.
My question to you with that, thinking about it, I'm wondering if Carlos Villarreal, old teammate, with like Mexican food, if he sees that in some ways of like Taco Bell or like Cinta going to like Domino's Pizza and seeing like, this is like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Is that our version of that?
Well, those are very clearly not cultural places. They're very American. I mean, that's the thing.
Like,
should we
be thinking it like that? Should we be thinking like Aussies see Outback Steakhouse as like a Domino's or a Taco Bell?
But my only thing that I think makes those different is that they don't even try.
That's a good point. They do try Outback Steakhouse, which makes us hate it more.
They're putting on fake accents, etc. So yeah.
Makes us hate it more for sure.
Yeah. Our next question is coming in from Will Bryant. Could they explain how grade school running competition works in Australia for those who only really understand how the high school system works in the US? Do they compete for their schools, districts, both? How does it compare to other places they are familiar with? In Australia, we have a system which is you can compete for either your school or your club, which is like a little bit confusing, I think, but like mostly there's a big club system, I would say. But when you talk about making nationals for cross country or even on the track, you can do it through a school system, but you can also do it through like the club system, which is a little bit confusing. But what's really cool about what we have is like we have a very proper like state and nationals thing going on. So the way it works is like you work your way up through races and it'll be like top five at zone make it to regionals, then top five at regionals make it to state. And then the state, this is both for cross country and track, I think, when you're growing up. If you do well at the state race, then you can qualify for the national race. And at nationals, you actually represent your state. So you're wearing like your state jersey, which is like, when you're growing up, like it's so cool. Like,
it's the coolest thing ever.
It's such an honor. And we also have, like that system exists like through age groups. It's not like the US where it's just like, there's just like high school. We have like under 12s, under 14s, under 16s, under 18s, under 20s. So you can compete at nationals as you're going up like the whole time. It's not like you're thrown into competing against like 18-year-olds when you're 15.
Is it eight nines or 9-10s-year-olds that can compete at the national championships?
I think it starts in the 8s and 9s.
Yeah, so it's a pretty early start and it's pretty fun because you go on this trip and usually I remember Morgan and I met through like the cross country system in the schools, and you would go on that trip and you would compete, but you'd also like have a day of like doing an excursion, which was a kind of a cool vibe.
Cross country was the coolest.
It was probably the best by far, because swimming and track was much more like there was a lot more running of the events, whereas cross country was one race, so you could kind of like enjoy your time wherever you were, and you'd be able to travel the country, so you'd go to different states, be able to collect different pins.
Oh yeah, the pin system was big. You would all have your state pins.
Yeah,
one of the coolest things about the cross country system when you're growing up is they would have the race, like the main race, which is what everyone really cared about, and then it was either the next day or maybe it was 2 days later there would be a relay, and you would run like a 4x2K relay with like your state team against the other state teams, which was pretty sick to have an event like that. It was actually really fun to compete in. So they do it very well here, I'd say.
I think it's a very cool experience. I also love the way it progresses, like school, zone, state to nationals, region, state to nationals. Whereas like some, you would have kids that go through, maybe get knocked out of region or get knocked out of state, and then they would just progress and get better and better. And then they, all of a sudden they would get like rewarded by their training or like how hard they've been working. And that was a cool aspect of it. Morgan, how many national championships did you win as a junior? You're kind of a, you're a bit of a Caitlin Tui, a bit of a high school phenom, if I may say myself.
I was all right. I was okay growing up.
Yeah. How many cross country races did you lose? Like one? I think you lost one, right?
No, I definitely lost races. I definitely
not well, nationals. You lost one, I think. My dad kept track of it.
At nationals, I came sixth at my first one, like fifth or sixth, really? And then I won the next one. But then there were some years, like when I was growing up,
plane number seven.
There were some years where I didn't. There was at least one year where I didn't compete because I was injured. Like I had a lot of growing pains and stuff. But then by the end of high school, I was pretty good and I won like three in a row. Like yeah. that was like my big achievement.
Pretty cool achievement was, I think, my first medal at cross, and then one of Morgan's greatest races at cross underage was in Adelaide.
Yeah, back here. I think the only time we've both been here.
Yep.
Yeah. So last time we were here, 2012.
Yeah, 2012. I think.
I think so.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Fun fact for you guys.
Yeah, look at those results. Those were some cool races. All right, next question comes in from Crack Rock. Slightly inappropriate name. Is it true that every home in Australia has a picture of Steve Irwin hung up in the family room?
No. I mean, like, if you're thinking of kind of iconic Australian people...
He's up there for me.
He's up there, but he's not hanging up on people's walls.
I bet he's hanging up on some people's walls.
Probably. not my family.
Maybe ironically. Well, it wouldn't be ironic.
I'm trying to think of the guy that got that famous show that he was like pretending to be a bushranger. Do you know who I'm talking about?
That does the dance?
Yeah. What's his name?
I'm blanking right now.
But he's like so up famous. On my mate's walls.
Well, I don't know if he still makes a show, but he's like... Yeah, he's pretty relevant.
Let me quickly just grab it because I know I can look it up and find it.
No, I mean, if we were a more passionate country, maybe in the city, we just, you know, we're too cool to care about stuff. But I could see him being alongside Jesus in many
100%.
In many homes.
I know Kath and Kim was big. My mom had Kath and Kim stickers, which is a TV show in Australia. Unreal show.
No, but Steve Irwin is an absolute legend. He is... Like, I remember where I was when
Russell
I found
Coit.
Out. Russell Coit.
Russell Coit from the All Aussie Adventures.
Yeah. I remember where I was when I found out the news of Steve Irwin's passing. Yeah. So he deserves to be up on every...
Larger than life.
In every family room, I would say. Our next question is Ollie or Morgan going to go after the Tan record in Melbourne when they're there?
Yeah, I got a DM from Run the Tan. I get one every year about coming to race. And every year I just can't do it because there's always something going on. And this year we could have done it, but...
What time? When is it?
It was like the 25th of April. So, but I think we have Penn.
It'll be a bit tough, yes. So, clashes with Penn Relay's biggest race of the year.
Which is one of the biggest races
Which
for
we
us.
Will be at, by the way, and we're going to go for a world's best. That's the teaser for everyone.
Wait, what?
Moving on.
Okay, moving on. But yeah, the Tan is a pretty cool event. That's one of those events that like I wish they would film. Like, you know how like they film pretty much everything?
They can make a cool documentary.
Cool documentary. Like, and like filming the races would be cool. Like,
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, I just, you can't really see it internationally, but it's a really cool event. Very big and mental. Like, they have like this pillar and it has everyone's times in it. Have you ever raced the Tan?
No, I've never raced the Tan. I've just run around there before. No. For those who aren't familiar, the Tan is like in Melbourne CBD, like in the city. I believe it's the Botanical Gardens. And it's it takes them, what, 10 or 11 minutes to run it. So I think it's like 3.5K-ish. I think something like that. Maybe 4. Something like that. K. And it's... like very famous for having races around it. They have, I think they just have like straight up races around it, but then they also have like a relay around it every year. And like a lot of amazing runners have tried to run their fastest time around it in the past. And I think at the top of the list is Craig Mottram. I think he has a really fast time, but there's been like some really fast Kenyans and a lot of the Aussies have caught up and run really, really quick. But yeah, it's so cool. They have like a top 10 list for the men's and women's. up there, and that's the shit that I love, man. Like just like a, it's a little bit hilly, I know that as well. Just like kind of like a random loop where it's like, this is like the fastest time that's ever run there, like let's see how fast you can do it
before Strava existed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Got the what's it called, segment crown or something. Yeah,
before
Strava,
all that existed, the TAM was there.
Yeah, so I love that shit, and I would love to go for it at some point in my life.
Yeah,
hopefully while we still have some running left in our legs.
Definitely.
Not when we're like 80 years old.
We'll get there. Maybe an off year, 26. Yeah, go and do it.
Let's do it. Final question coming in from Rupert. Did they watch H2O Just Add Water when they were young?
God, I get asked this question all the time.
I did.
I it was on TV for sure.
It's the mermaid one, right?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, and it has all those weird, like, if you watch it back, it's pretty hard. It's one of those shows where you only grow up watching shows,
yeah,
and you think like it was pretty cool at the time, and then you go back and watch it, it's like, wow, how did I like follow this?
Really?
It's just like some of the powers from the ladies, mm-hmm, is just very like bad CGI, bad, like
I imagine it would be
bad, like kind of, I don't know, they did the best of what they could have. I mean, Neighbours is a big thing. I watch a lot of Neighbours.
Yeah, that's another really big long run in Australian
Puberty
shows.
Blues, Mr. G.
Read that book.
What was the Mr. G? Summer High Tide.
Summer High Tide. Yeah, these are some great Aussie classics.
Yeah,
grew up with
Russell Coit. Russell Coit was a good one. My dad loved watching that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I did used to watch that. I wonder if that made it overseas. I mean, if Rupert is asking, then maybe, well, I guess Rupert could be Australian as well.
I feel like there's a really popular show from Australia in the US right now, and it's everywhere, and a lot of kids watch it.
What is it?
Bluey.
What's
the
Bluey?
The dog show. The animated dog show. It's called Bluey.
Should I know it, or is it like for kids?
It's for kids.
Oh,
but
oh,
the cool thing about the show is the color way of the show is good for dogs. Dogs can actually watch it. They'll see the colors.
Really?
The way they've designed the colors in the show.
Good
so
idea. Well
it's
done.
A pretty cool thing, and I know a lot of kids watch it, Bluey. But yeah, that's the Aussie show. It's like taking it by storm. Wiggles was so massive cool as well, right?
Yeah, but
were they just massive in Australia?
Do they not have different Wiggles?
I thought they only had countries. Aussie. I thought they only had the Aussie Wiggles. Let me look it up.
I think they might have maybe an American version of the Wiggles. My favorite show was shit. What's it called? What's the one with the guy who does like art and he has the dog with him? Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues.
That was great my show. Favorite one. I used to love Blue's Clues. That really got to me.
Yeah, it's an Australian children's music group formed in Sydney Wiggles in 1991. Yeah.
Well, there you go. There you go. All right, well, this has really just been an episode.
It's just been an Australian culture episode, which, yeah, like, honestly, Morgan and I have done
should
poorly.
Do more often.
I do miss meat pies. Morgan and I had a meat pie and sausage roll. What was it? Yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
So good.
But there's, like, a lot of things that we're probably blanking on that we love about being home. Smell, just the usual vibe. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice being home after so long not being here.
Yeah, 100%.
Even though I was here just for Christmas, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but it's just nice being back, as much as you can get it.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that we need to cover today?
No, I don't think there is. If anybody wants to play Halo, please just get online.
Yeah. Shout out to anyone who's reading Red Rising. That's the book series that Ollie's obsessed with right now. Yeah. I just finished book 6.
I am...
Highly recommend to everyone.
I'm halfway through book 3, but I'm like... I passed part 1 of book 3.
Yeah.
So
we have to do more of a what would you call it, pop culture corner on the show.
Well, tell our listeners about the books you're currently listening to, because it's an Australian author, right? It's a new upcoming.
Yeah, see, this one's pretty niche though. It's called The Will of Many.
Will of Many.
Fantasy series recommended to me by Ed Trippis. That's what I'm on right now. Yeah. But you're
enjoying it, huh?
I'm loving it, but I would recommend everyone go read Red Rising.
Yeah.
That's going to be like my main recommendation for anyone who wants to read like a science fiction fantasy type.
I'm wondering how big this series is going to get, because it's still like kind of in
Red Rising.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon it's going to be massive.
Yeah.
Going forwards, I think it's going to
shape a lot of culture. Maybe end up being a TV show. If so, Morgan
sure
is available
be.
For casting.
Yeah.
Who would you play? Without giving any spoilers away, I guess.
That's an incredibly difficult question. Probably just like a janitor, like a low red somewhere.
Yeah. Or they might do like they do it in athletics or track race, and you're just one of the people running in it.
Yeah, I'll be one of those ones, one of the low class reds. No, it's an amazing series, and highly recommend it. So yeah, I think that's it for episode 131. A bit of a different episode, but nonetheless, we hope that you guys enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed our chat.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And next week, I think we'll be back to more normal. I mean, hopefully we can get George on and have a bit of a more normal episode.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we look forward to seeing you all next week. Bye-bye.